Good afternoon. And let me ask you to please secure a Bible in your hand and turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. We are preaching through the book of James on Sunday night. We have come to James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. This is the eighth lesson from the book of James, and tonight we're going to be speaking about wisdom. The Old Testament teaches us that we are to seek after wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, there is a passage there that deals with wisdom, the beauty of wisdom, and our need to seek after wisdom. When we come over then to the New Testament, in the New Testament, it teaches us that we are to live our lives with wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. But then when we come to the book of James, James tells us that there is more than one kind of wisdom. So I want you to look at this now, James chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. I want you to follow along, and I want you to notice here the two different kinds of wisdom. James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Verse 15 now. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it is earthly, unscriptural, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Now verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. Now I want you to understand. The Old Testament says, seek after wisdom. Wisdom is what you want. Go get this. The New Testament teaches we are to live by wisdom. This is how you are to live. And then James says, but be careful, warning to everybody, there is more than one kind of wisdom. Make sure you get the right one. Now look at verse 13 with me. Look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Brethren, wisdom reveals itself. It makes itself known in a couple of different ways. First, true wisdom makes itself known by its words, by what it says. You say, now where are you getting that? Where I'm getting that is in the context of James 3. In James 3, the first 12 verses, James gives to us the longest discourse in all of the Bible on the tongue, how we are to talk, how we are to speak. James then comes off of that at the end of verse 12, and beginning with verse 13, he immediately launches into talking about wisdom. So in the context of the passage, true wisdom is going to reveal itself by what it says, the words that it uses. You understand? The second way that true wisdom will reveal itself is by its actions, by what it does. Again, look at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding? Well, who is it? Let him show it. Show what? This wisdom and understanding. Let him show it by his good life and by its deeds. So true wisdom will reveal itself in the words that it uses and in the way that it lives. In other words, when somebody has true wisdom, you will know it because they will talk the right talk and they'll walk the right walk. Now, let me give you a couple thoughts here from verse 13 before we move to where we're going. First, let me give you this thought from verse 13. And that is that knowledge and wisdom should go hand in hand with each other. Knowledge and wisdom should go hand in hand. That's what he means. Look at verse 13. When he says, who is wise and understanding among you? What he's saying there is that knowledge and wisdom should go hand in hand. Now, what's the difference? Well, knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Wisdom is the ability to properly use those facts. You got it? Knowledge is an accumulation of facts. Wisdom is the ability to properly use your knowledge. For instance, terrorists have great knowledge of bomb making. They have great knowledge of bombs. But they use that knowledge in a way that is very, very unwise. So knowledge and wisdom, watch me, knowledge and wisdom should go hand in hand. But then the other thing he says at the end of verse 13 is that wisdom, what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge. That wisdom and deeds should go hand in hand. Again in verse 13, he says, who's wise and understanding? Wisdom and knowledge should go hand in hand. He says, who is it? He says, it's the one who shows it by how he lives. So knowledge and wisdom should go hand in hand, and then wisdom and deeds should go hand in hand. You got it? Now let me show you one more thing in verse 13, and then we're going to get to the left. One more thing in verse 13. Words are important, brethren. Words are important. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? The word wise in verse 13. The word wise is not talking about academic knowledge. The word wise there is not referring to academic knowledge. It's referring to what you do with that knowledge in your everyday life. Young person grows up at home and goes off to college. Stays in college 4 years, comes back home, and decides, I no longer have to listen to my dad. Now, this child, and it's a child, this child has accumulated a lot of knowledge. A lot of knowledge. But with all that knowledge, there has come no wisdom. There's come no wisdom. So, wisdom isn't just a head full of facts. Wisdom is now how you're going to live your life based on that head full of facts. So James makes 2 points here. James says there's two kinds of wisdoms. He says there is an earthly wisdom, and he says there is a wisdom from heaven, a wisdom from God. The wisdom, brethren, that we are to seek, the wisdom that we are to live by is the wisdom from heaven, the wisdom from God. Now I want us to take a look at these two. First of all, James talks about this earthly wisdom. Verses 14 through 16. Now let's read these again, and then we're going to go through this. He says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Now watch it. Such truth, such wisdom, does not come from heaven, but it is earthly, unscriptural, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. So James starts by talking about earthly wisdom. Now, why is it earthly wisdom? It's earthly wisdom because its origin is not from heaven. It's earthly wisdom because it is a wisdom that is based upon the standards of this world. That's why it's earthly. It's based on the standards of this world. It is earthly wisdom because it is a wisdom that in the eyes of God is in fact foolishness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul says that God has made foolish the wisdom of this world. Now here's the question. What are the fruits of this earthly wisdom? How does this earthly wisdom manifest itself so that we are able to see it? Look what James lists. In verse 14, he says, number one, earthly wisdom manifests itself in bitter envy. Bitter envy. Let me give you a better translation than that. Bitter zeal. Bitter zeal. You see, brethren, zeal can either be something that's very useful, constructive, or zeal can be something that's very destructive. Look at Saul of Tarsus. Before his conversion, Saul was zealous. He had great zeal, but that zeal was going in the wrong direction. I mean, here was a man who was the enemy of Christianity, and he gave his all to destroying Christianity. As far as getting letters from authority in Jerusalem and traveling as far up as the city of Damascus, and anybody he found who was a Christian, he put them in chains and bring them back to the city of Jerusalem, and only God knows what happened to him there. But then after his conversion, he was still very zealous. And when Saul of Tarsus became the Apostle Paul, that zeal was going in the right direction. But understand this, the point is that the wisdom of this world, a characteristic, is that it is a bitter zeal. It is a zeal that's very active, but it's bitter in its core. It's bitter. And the world is filled tonight with people who are very, very active in bitter things. And that's the wisdom of this world. Notice also in verse 14, he says, a second fruit of this earthly wisdom is selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. The wisdom of this world is ambitious. But selfish ambition is an ambition that's about itself and nobody else. Now, let me illustrate exactly what this word is. And when I say this, everybody here is going to go, I know what selfish ambition is now. This term that is brought over and translated in the NIV as selfish ambition, this was a Greek term that the ancient Greeks used in classical Greek. This was the term that they used to describe a politician who was out canvassing for votes. You ever hear some politicians? Oh, this is all about you. This ain't got nothing to do with me. This is all about you. I'm going to give you. And then what happens? It ain't nothing about you. Never was about you. Never was about me. It was always about who? Them. That selfish ambition. This was how the ancient Greeks used to describe this world. Listen, this word. Listen. That's what earthly wisdom is. The wisdom of this world is a very zealous, but it's evil, it's bitter as it can be, and the wisdom of this world is just all about itself. It's got nothing to do with you, regardless of what they say it has to do with you. Amen. Notice what else he says. Down in verse 16, he says, another fruit of this earthly wisdom is disorder. Is disorder. Let me tell you clearly tonight that there are many well-educated people, and the effect that they have on every crowd they get in is to tear them apart. It's disorder. The leader of Russia, a former KGB agent, may be a man of great knowledge, And in, over there, he's looked upon as a man of great wisdom, but he's a man who brings disorder everywhere. Amen. But listen to me. That is the characteristic of the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world brings disorder wherever it's at. If you doubt that, go and watch the news. Go and watch the news. How are they doing out there? He mentions another characteristic in verse 16. He says another fruit of this earthly wisdom, he says, is every evil practice. Listen, the wisdom of this world is involved in every good-for-nothing thing going on. Every good-for-nothing thing going on. Listen, the wisdom of this world takes some of the most evil things imaginable and says that those who engage in them are wise. Same-sex marriage. If you are against that, according to the world, you're not wise. Because according to their wisdom, if you are wise and enlightened, well, you got to be for this. Abortion is the same way. We've murdered over 50 million babies. You think somebody, a whole bunch of somebody, ain't going to pay for that somewhere? But according to the wisdom of this world, that is what you ought to do. You understand what I'm saying? That's what you ought to do. Some of the most evil things imaginable. Listen, every good-for-nothing thing. And the wisdom of the world says, oh, this is wise. It isn't wise. It's sin. It's sin. So James says, that's earthly wisdom. It's zealous. It goes as hard as it can go, but it's bitter as salt water. Selfish ambition. Oh, it's got a lot of ambition, but it's just all for self. It's all for self. Disordered, and disorder's everywhere. Disorder's everywhere. And every good-for-nothing thing is praised. So James then comes off of that. And if you have, and if you've got this, the world thinks you're enlightened. You're enlightened. Then James says, listen, now let's talk about the wisdom that's from heaven. Look at verse 17 now and verse 18. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Why is this called the wisdom that's from heaven? The reason this is called the wisdom that's from heaven is because this is a wisdom that comes from God. Chapter 1 and verse 5, James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives. So this is a wisdom from heaven because this is a wisdom that comes from God. Now, how does this wisdom manifest itself? What are the fruits of this wisdom? Look what he says. We're going to go through these quickly. He says, first of all, it's pure. Brethren, listen. The wisdom that comes from God is uncontaminated. Now, in what means? In means of its motive. Its motive is pure. It's uncontaminated. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." It is those who possess the wisdom from God who are the only ones who will see God. It's pure. It's uncontaminated. What does that mean? That means that it's not like the wisdom of the world. For instance, with the wisdom of the world, it's not pure. It's very contaminated. And that's why with the wisdom of this world, you can take your tongue and praise God and the next minute cuss somebody. You say, well, what is that? That's impure. So the wisdom that is from above is pure. Secondly, he says that it's peace-loving. What does that mean? Let me make it simple. What that means is that it loves peace. The wisdom that comes from God loves peace. The wisdom that comes from God practices right relationships. It loves peace. The wisdom that comes from God loves peace. And that's why it is a wisdom that brings and that binds people together and doesn't tear them apart. Paul said in Colossians 3:15, "Let the peace of Christ rule your heart." That peace comes from heaven. The Jewish people, and not just the ancient Jews, but the ancient Jews, but also Jews today, their greeting is shalom. Shalom. Shalom means peace. And then when you depart from them, when you greet them and depart from them, it's the same word. Shalom. Shalom. Peace. Peace. The wisdom that comes from God is pure in its motive. It's uncontaminated. The peace that comes, the wisdom that comes from God is peace loving. It brings together. It doesn't tear apart. Now the next word is very crucial, and I'm going to explain why. The third fruit of this heavenly wisdom. It's translated in NIV, considerate. Now, I think other translations say gentle. Now, here's why this is important. Because the word that James uses in the common Greek, Koine Greek, there's no English equivalent for that word. So you can't just use a word. There has to be an explanation. And this is the explanation. He says that this wisdom that comes from God, it's considerate or it's gentle, but this wisdom that comes from God, what it is kind in its dealings with people. But it's more than that. It's not just kind in its dealing with people, but it's kind in dealing with people who even disagree with you. When you are kind with people who totally disagree with you, that is not a symptom of your weakness. that is a symptom of great strength. That is a symptom of great strength. So the wisdom that comes from God is kind in how it deals with people, even with people who totally will disagree with you. Who totally disagree with you. And you know what? That's fine. That drives some people crazy, but it's fine. Notice what else he says. He says that it is submissive. Submissive. Now, there are a dozen ways that you can apply that word and not apply it like you should in that context. Now, what is the context? Okay, the context is that he's talking about wisdom, but it's more than that. He's not just now talking about wisdom, he's talking about wisdom that comes from God. And James says that one of the fruits, that one of the ways that the wisdom that comes from God manifests itself is that we are submissive. So what does submissive mean in the context? Submissive in the context means the individual who is forever willing and ready to obey God. You cannot have the wisdom from above and not obey God. This submissive here is submissiveness to obeying God. A fruit of heavenly wisdom is in an individual who says, I am forever ready and willing to obey God. See, they're submissive. They're submissive to the command of God. That's what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with the world. That's what's wrong with worldly wisdom. It doesn't submit to God's will. Notice what he says next. And notice he combines the next two, and he does so on purpose. He says that wisdom that comes from heaven is full of mercy and good fruit. Notice he combines them. He combines them. Now, he does that for a couple of reasons. Take full of mercy and good fruit and contrast that with what he said back up in verse 16 when he was talking about worldly wisdom, and he says worldly wisdom has every evil practice. So the wisdom of this world is involved in every good-for-nothing thing, but the wisdom from God is full of mercy and good works. So there is a contrast here in the two wisdoms. You understand what I'm telling you? But he combines these in order to show us something that's vital. The word mercy here means compassion. He says, now watch this, watch this. He says that wisdom that comes from God is full of compassion and good fruits. What does that mean? What that means is that Christian compassion is not just an emotion. You understand? It's an action. Christian compassion acts. He says it's full of compassion and good works. So it's not just an emotion. Christian compassion is an emotion that's mixed with the good works. But too many times we have the feeling and not the doing. So that's why he says in chapter 1 and verse 27 that pure religion before God the Father is this. And then what does he say? It does things. The less fortunate and the widows, it does things. You understand? Let's keep going. We're almost there. We're almost there. He says the wisdom that's from above, he says that it is impartial. And most of the time when we see the word impartial, we want to jump back to chapter 2, verses 1 and following, where he talks about this prejudice and how they were being impartial with taking the rich and placing the rich over the poor. But the application here has to stay in the context of wisdom. And the word impartial here means that the wisdom that comes from God acts consistently. Consistently. In another word, God is good when I'm on the mountain, but God's also good when I'm trying to get up off the valley. It's consistent. And then finally he says that it is sincere. That means it's without hypocrisy. It's without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in the Bible means play acting. The Jews had a great problem with it, with hypocrisy. In Matthew chapter 23, the whole chapter, Jesus explodes on the Pharisees and the scribes because of their hypocrisy. Now, brethren, follow, and I'm done. You do not have to, I do not have to, have the IQ of a genius. What we need isn't just more knowledge. The world has more knowledge tonight than it's ever had. What we need is some wisdom from God to mix with what we know. You don't need the IQ of a genius to get this. You can have this wisdom that's from heaven. This is a wisdom that's available to you. It's available to you because this wisdom is a gift from God, and all you have to do to receive it is ask for it. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. So let's seek wisdom, let's live according to wisdom, but let's make sure that we have the wisdom that's from God and not the wisdom of this world. If you're here this afternoon, if you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel, you can be baptized into Christ this evening. If you're here, if you're a Christian, and if you're away from God, we're going to sing the first stanza of this invitation song. If you need to respond, may God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.